possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
One of the most important processes that involves government is the issuance of building permits, whether that be commercial building permits, residential building permits, or permits for electrical, gas, mechanical, and plumbing permits. It very much affects the local economy, the speed in which properties can be put into the stream of commerce. Time is money. So it's always a good thing to kind of check and get the barometer or the temperature of what people are thinking about that process. It can tend to be very intensive, but it's so very, very important to the local economy. And joining us is Ruth Lawson, the president of the Jefferson Chamber. And they embarked upon a permitting survey here in 2025 where they sought out the experiences of nearly 100 Jefferson Parish businesses that went through the permitting process. Ruth, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Noel. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, Ruth, I'm really excited that y'all did this because I really believe, you hear anecdotal stories all the time, people that have to make modifications to their buildings or they're building new or they're renovating or whatever it may be. Time is money. Obviously, they spend a lot of money on architectural and engineering design, and they want to get through the process as quickly as possible, right?
Right. So, yeah,
and I guess
this was one of our biggest, issues. We pride on ourselves on being such a pro-business environment for Jefferson Parish. And this was one of the biggest issues that kind of our businesses felt they were facing in getting up and started, whether that's just a renovation or a new development of property. And so we wanted to make sure that their voices were heard.
And I know that Jefferson Parish government, I think y'all even reflect that in your report, they've made some changes in the hopes of improving, but you never really know whether or not that you've really achieved that. So it's kind of good from that perspective to kind of check in with folks as well, right?
Correct. And, I've been honored to serve on the Parish President's Advisory Committee. Both the Parish Council and the Parish President realized that this was an issue that the process needed improving. And so we've gotten about 20 of us, dedicated professionals, looking to improve this process. And the parish, to their credit, has already implemented a lot of the recommendations that we've made, but I still think that there's a long way to go.
Yeah. So what did this study reveal? Let's get into it.
Right. So we had about almost 100 participating businesses. Most of those businesses were in the construction and development industries, which we were hoping to get those who have the most experience with the process. I would say that it revealed that about people are equal on whether they're satisfied or very satisfied with the process or very dissatisfied with the process. So that was kind of interesting. We hear a lot of complaints, whether it's the time for approval, was the most challenging aspect that our respondents faced. But followed by that was, you know, communication and or customer service with the government staff. And so we've really taken that into consideration and tried to provide the administration some ideas on how both of those could be improved.
Yeah, I was looking at the presentation. Roughly just about 30% of those surveyed said that their permit was approved in less than a month. About 46%, 1 to 3 months, 18%, 3 to 6 months, and 5% more than 6 months. Is there an industry average or a national average that that people target to try to achieve?
You know, I think everyone's regulations are so different, but I think the the gold standard would be as little time as possible. You know, we'd like to stay in under that less than 1 month. And I think, you know, that was for permit approval. But when we look at the planning process, too, so say if you have your standard commercial development, if everything is submitted correctly and there are no hiccups in the process, which we all know rarely there is, it still takes about 9 weeks to complete that planning process, get your permit. And that is difficult. So you can imagine and that's not just on the parish department staff, but that's going before the planning advisory board, making sure that it's advertised in enough time, as well as going before the council for full approval if there are variances.
So are there opportunities of reducing what I call, you know, and I know you are familiar with WIPs, works and processes that you have to touch during the process. Is there a possibility of eliminating some of these?
I think so. You know, right now, I think that it's both a process issue and a personnel issue. And I don't mean just people, but, you know, whether it's the starting pay of some of the positions or whether it's the customer service training that they're receiving. I think that all goes into it, as well as the process. Like, can we eliminate some of the steps needed or condense the time? There's also been discussion about whether we allow businesses or individuals to pay like a expedited fee, you know, a higher fee for an expedited time frame. But I think that we're all trying to figure that out. You know, right now we're just really trying to figure out the process too, because it can go one way or it can go five other different ways depending on the individual permit or planning location.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of interesting because the consumer walks into the office. They're not all exactly the same. Some time may be more of the essence than others, right?
Right. And I think, too, you know, this process is very confusing. So if a lot of times our businesses, our residents hire a consultant or professional to handle it for them. And so if you have someone that's routinely doing this and knowing the steps and what's necessary, then it's probably going to go a little bit faster. But for those who either can't afford a consultant or maybe, you know, it's not available to them, it makes the process much more difficult and thus adding, you know, additional time and requirements probably too. And I will say, Noel, you know, I'll mention what I hear the most from businesses and what we're trying to figure out, I think, is one of the top priorities is, you know, a plan or a permit gets submitted to the parish and they're told, look, you need to provide A, B, and C. Well, then they provide A, B, and C, and then the next review process, they need D, E, and F. And so making sure that the parish departments and staff are communicating everything that's needed, but on their side, too, that the applicant is providing the information, all the information ahead of time. And, you know, they're not kind of piecemealing it too is kind of a communication issue on both ends.
Yeah. I mean, even if sometimes it's a practice that the application can't be accepted unless all the supporting documents are included. Right. I mean, because obviously that becomes more tedious on the government side of holding these things in abeyance, you know, waiting on documents, and then you get the finger pointing, right, as who's to blame when something came in or not.
Yeah, and I think it's training on both sides. I think it's providing more resources and information ahead of time for the applicant, providing more customer service. Look, we want our businesses to go to Jefferson Parish and feel like their hand is held and they are going to do whatever they can. You know, I know we're not talking about holding their hand throughout the whole process, but making sure that they feel welcome to open a business or provide development within the parish, that the parish department is going to do whatever they can and whatever they need to do to get that business up and running as soon as possible.
And I know you guys have looked at others as to what they are doing, because that's what, you know, you're always trying to drive for perfection to get better. If you would, for the benefit of the listening audience, a lot of folks don't connect the dots as to how important this process truly is relative to economic development. More so, I think, in the commercial development side than residential development side. But, you know, people that are going to locate a business somewhere, they want that ease of administration. And if it's holding their hand through the entire process, I can promise you, I've heard incredible stories like coming out of Arizona and Lexington, Kentucky, where a friend built a manufacturer plant there. They were just like blown away by the assistance that they got through the process. They had never experienced that before.
Right. And that's what we're looking to provide. Look, we are trying to improve the process and make it better, but we're trying to be the gold standard. You know, what can we do to make it the easiest place in the country to open a business? And when you talk about economic development, if they're, you know, 9 weeks delayed and they're paying interest on their loan, but they're not open, you know, that's a real financial situation that some can afford and some cannot. And so the cost of just sitting there and not being able to open their business is huge, as well as just from the economic development part of attracting businesses. They need to have some certainty of the process, some certainty of the ability to navigate the process, that they'll be open as quickly as possible, and that, you know, our government and our business community are going to work with them to do so.
We're visiting with Ruth Lawson, president of the Jefferson Chamber. We're talking about a recent survey that they've released on permitting for construction of commercial, residential, and other types of improvements to property. Ruth, I'm hearing what you're saying, and it sounds like, you know, thankfully that both the parish administration and the parish council are open and receptive to this process, their participation on the task force. How has that gone so far?
It's going well. Look, we've had about 4 or 5 meetings for the committee. Going along with those meetings, the parish has done both an SOQ, you know, basically a request for proposals, double-sided, to look at all of the permitting and planning regulations to see what can be improved, and then also to look at the whole Unified Development Code and to see of Jefferson Parish and see where we can either simplify it, update it. And so that's going on like the government side. With the committee, you know, we've really been trying to understand the personnel issue, the process issue, and make improvements. You know, I think that they've probably lived by the same process for a long time. And what can we do as private business owners or in the business community to suggest improvements? And to their credit, you know, they've taken some of those and already put them into play. They've, you know, launched an updated planning and zoning map. They provide a more intuitive user experience for the applicants. And that's, you know, been in development for several years with updating, you know, their permit portal. But it kind of got moved along a little bit quicker. And I think that that's going to help a lot. But I think that there's a long way to go, like I said.
Yeah. And is there like an end game to this, a deadline, you know, some, maybe just an arbitrary date, you know, as opposed to just being open-ended, that everyone hopes that they get these tasks completed by?
So I know Parish President Lee Shane wants to see this done within her administration. So that looks like a couple more years, you know, she has. But I will say that it's a long, arduous process. I think everybody would like to get it done as quickly as possible. But it is a lot of regulations, a lot of processes that have, you know, many different ways they can go. And so we want to make sure that we're looking at it from the top to the bottom and making as many changes as we think that will improve the process as possible. But I do know it is a priority of the parish president and the council.
Yeah, and, you know, because we're in the competition business, right? We're competing for people to, trying to lure them here. And if they have a much easier time up the river in St. Charles, you know, a lot of people make that decision to go there because they can get open faster, quicker. And in many cases, sometimes the land acquisition cost is cheaper. So we have to do other things to put ourselves in a better shape, I guess, to compete.
Certainly, you know, we are always in competition to attract and retain our businesses. And I think that we've been on the winning side of getting many businesses move into our parish from neighboring communities. But we want to make sure that we keep that up and that we attract new businesses, that we provide them certainty, that we, you know, are the most business-friendly parish in the region. And to do that, I think we constantly have to look at our processes and our procedures and making sure that the right people are in the right seats and that everyone's doing their job to make sure that Jefferson Parish prospers.
So we're visiting with Ruth Lawson, president of the Jefferson Chamber. Let's pivot real quick. Just quickly, an assessment, you know, kind of the state of the parish from the business owner's perspective. You interact with them every day. What are you hearing?
I think everyone's, you know, excited. We've had some really good announcements within the last year, 2 years of Jefferson Parish. You know, we have a $500 million investment in, with UBE on the West Bank for EV battery manufacturers. We have Riley Foods, which is an old New Orleans company, moving into Jefferson Parish, as well as the development at Clearview, the development at Elmwood. You know, a lot of exciting things, and we want to make sure that momentum goes forward. So, you know, we're constantly working alongside our partners at JEDCO for them to, you know, keep attracting and retaining businesses and whatever the chamber can do as a business organization and an advocacy organization to make sure that our business is still supported. And this really is one of those issues, Noel. I mean, the permitting and planning, we work day in and day out to advocate for the business-friendly environment of Jefferson Parish. And so we do that at the local level, the state level, and the federal level to protect the interests of our business members and ensuring the long-term economic growth of Jefferson Parish. And so that's really our mission. We work hard to do so, and we want to make sure that our businesses feel supported and heard.
Absolutely. Ruth Lawson, President, Jefferson Chamber, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing the results of the permitting and planning survey. Very interesting stuff, and best of luck to you as you continue down this path, and have a great weekend.
Thanks, Noel. You too.
Thank you, ma'am. That's Ruth Lawson, president of the Jefferson Chamber. We will be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
So, folks, there's been some changes in the way that teachers are grading, and this has been hotly debated, these grading reforms, such as no zeros, 50% rule, no late penalties, unlimited retakes. We're joined by Adam Tyner, National Research Director at the Fordham Institute and one of the authors of this study, to find out what teachers are actually thinking of these changes that have been imposed on them in grading. Adam, welcome to the show.
Great to be with you, Noel.
So we keep hearing about this term, I guess it's called grade inflation, you know, as well as our GPA inflation and, you know, and talking about trying to achieve equity as being a reason for all of this. If you would, just kind of develop the backdrop for my listening audience of what is being debated at the present time.
Yeah, so there has been, grading has been debated for a long time. People have different opinions about what should go into grades. But over the last few years, there's been a move to try to make grading more equitable. And some of the changes to grades have been kind of branded as being more equitable grading practices. And the problem that they're trying to identify, that they're trying to solve, is a real one. There are numerous studies that show that teachers sometimes exhibit biases towards different groups of students. And so there have been studies where they did experiments, for example, where they showed that if a teacher thinks that they're grading a black student, maybe because of the name that's associated with the assignment or something, versus grading a white student. And these are experiments, so the assignments are exactly the same, just some name has been changed or something, that teachers will, in aggregate, not every single teacher, but in the aggregate, there's some bias against black students. And there's other groups of students that have also have bias against them, at least on some high systemic level. Like there's some average bias. Of course, not every teacher is necessarily grading them differently, but there's enough that researchers can detect that. So that has led people to think, how can we get rid of, you know, bias and make grading fair and accurate? And some solutions to that, like using grading rubrics where the teacher has, like, they know 5 points goes for this and 10 points is if they have a clear thesis statement and 20 points is for this other thing. When they have a clear rubric, that can help to eliminate that bias. Research has shown that. And also things like anonymized grading can help that. But the reformers have also focused, I'd say they focused a lot more of their energy on changes to grading that often lower standards and lower expectations for student behavior and for their academic performance. Things like you mentioned, not allowing them to have zero. So if they turn in if they don't turn in their assignment in the past, they would have gotten a zero. But they changed the grading scale so that they automatically get a 50. And that's supposed to make it fairer or at least motivate the students more because they haven't, you know, had this really bad grade and now they'll want to try more. I don't know that there's any evidence that shows that that's true, but that is a policy that has been promoted. Other things include getting rid of all deadlines. So you can always make up an assignment or turn it in late with no penalty, getting rid of homework grades, getting rid of participation grades. And those, I mean, you can imagine, are pretty tenuously tied to equity in any way. They're really just about having lower expectations for students' behavior and performance, giving them fewer short-term goals and saying we should just kind of, you know, grade them at the end and hope that they did all the work in the meantime. But what we did with this new report is we asked teachers what they thought, because there's been a lot of controversy around the country about these policies, understandably. And so we did the first survey of teachers to find out what teachers think about these different policies. And by and large, teachers are just as skeptical as we've been when we've written about this stuff. And I've written policy papers and even talked to you about this topic before, Newell. And we had our opinions about it, and we found that teachers largely share that skepticism towards these grading reforms.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like setting a time period, you know, the time that you got to be there. How about, you know, just showing up at school on time? How do the folks that propose this and want these reformations, how do they respond to, well, when you finish with school, all of these things that are imposed upon these students are going to be imposed upon them in their work life? I mean, aren't we setting them up to fail? Because their expectation is, I get to do a retake. I don't have to show up on time. I can be 10 minutes late. That's no big deal. You know, I mean,
With you, Newell. I mean, there's,
I mean,
a
if
lot
you get, if you embed that in
the
their human
world,
behavior,
right?
If you embed mm-hmm. that in their human behavior, how many jobs do they have to lose before they alter their human behavior?
I mean, yeah. You know? Yeah. It's a good point.
So
I think that, you know, they often attack the way that school is often, you know, in some way school is stricter than the real world. Like if you, you know, at most people's job, if they, you know, make a mistake, they have some chance to kind of come back from it. And I think that that's what oftentimes grading reformers focus on, is that, you know, sometimes school is even, you know, stricter than a boss might be. But I don't think that's a good argument for just kind of lowering expectations and standards from where they used to be to a lower level. That's really just expecting less of students. And we have lots of research showing that students respond to the expectations around them. If they're not really expected to turn things in on time, they don't. If they're not, if they have a tougher grader as a teacher who is less likely to give them an A or less likely to give them a good grade, they learn more. And so those standards and those expectations are really important. And a lot of the equitable grading reforms, so-called equitable grading reforms, unfortunately do harm to those high standards and expectations that most educators want to uphold.
Well, Adam, I would probably suspect that you're a lot like me. You have a PhD, right? So you develop disciplines in the manner that you prepared yourself for class in order to make sure that you met all the expectations of your professors. I did the same thing. You know what's interesting? Every day when I sit down at my desk and I prepare for my show in order to conduct interviews with people like you that are a hell of a lot smarter than me, is I have to make sure that I'm prepared. And I've been mm-hmm. trained to do it that way because I had to meet those expectations in school. It's like muscle memory, right? You develop this culture that works for you as to how you can meet those expectations. I don't get to show up for you the interview of Adam Tyner 5-10 minutes late. You're busy. They're so focused on the micro, and they don't even understand, to me, how this relates in the macro. When you get, you know, life's not fair. And if they think people aren't going to be judged for engaging in behavior that they're going to allow in school in a negative fashion, they're sadly mistaken. I mean,
well, I think one of the big problems.
I had 1,700 employees work for me at one time. Mm-hmm. I don't accept people being late repeatedly over and over again. If I want a report to be done, they don't get to do a do-over. There's going to be sanctions. One of the things, they're not going to move through the corporate ladder, right? I mean, upward.
Right. And I mean, the truth is that there's always been some flexibility in some cases. I mean, if a student has some terrible thing happen,
absolutely,
like there are case by case basis that that teachers can use to cut a student some slack. And I don't think that's unreasonable. The problem with this movement for changing school district policies or changing the whole school's policy is that it doesn't just say if a student has some, you know, unforeseen challenge or something, you can't accommodate them. It says you're not allowed to let anybody have a deadline. You're not allowed to have anybody have that higher expectation. So you're just lowering the expectations for everybody, not something like that would empower teachers on a case-by-case basis to cut a student some slack if they really have a legitimate reason for it, but just basically changing the policy to say you're taking away the tools that teachers use to keep students engaged and, you know, not letting them actually hold them accountable for turning things in on time and doing their work.
So, Adam, how prevalent are these equitable grading policies? What did y'all find out?
Well, it's a good question, Noel, because we had seen a bunch of these controversies pop up at school board meetings around the country. Just a few weeks ago, San Francisco Unified School District was thinking about doing something along these lines, and there was a huge controversy in San Francisco. The mayor of San Francisco actually spoke out against them adopting these grading policies that are controversial. So this has popped up around the country, but nobody really knew how common they were. And I think what we found in the survey, which is the first survey that's ever been done of teachers on, the first national survey ever done of teachers on this topic, and your listeners can find the entire report at FordhamInstitute.org if they want to read the whole report. What we found is that many schools are experimenting with a little bit of this stuff. We looked at those five policies that you stated at the beginning, and we found that about half of schools are experimenting with at least one of those policies. But there aren't really very many schools that are doing like all of them. Doing four or five of those controversial policies, it's really only 6% of schools that are doing four or five of those controversial policies. Most are just doing one or two of those policies if they're doing any at all. And about half of schools, half of teachers report that, you know, their school isn't doing anything like that.
Yeah. You know, and the participation thing, like, it's interesting. I'm sure you were a teacher at one time, right? Did you teach?
Yeah, I've led some classrooms. I sure have.
Yeah, you know, and I did as well, and at even at the university level. And I remember in one of my classes, I told them if I put it on the board or put it on the overhead, that's a better bet than secretariat. It's going to be on the test. And if you just got that right, you'd get a 60, right? But you'd be amazed, you know, by how many students weren't in the class, right? They didn't get the information. They didn't get the notes. And then they wanted to complain where, you know, the first day of class, I said, that's how every class is going to be. If you just take down the material that I put up there that I've explained, you're going to get a 60. And so that makes it fairly easy for you to move from that grade to figure out what else you think is going to be important to the material that we've discussed. And, you know, the people that were serious about it would participate. They would prepare for class. And guess what? They all got A's. It didn't take a huge amount of effort to do it. Right. But, you know, it was just interesting how, even as they got older, you know, and I suspected they came out of schools that didn't require a lot of this because it just seemed so foreign to them that I would sit up there in front of class and say, I expect you to come to class prepared. I believe in the Socratic method. I'm going to challenge you. I want to debate you on these topics. And I think it's a great way of learning. And they were like, what are you talking about? I have to come to class? You know, it's like, what's that about?
Well, I don't know. Think about, you know, your bar of, you know, you'll get a 60 if you just get these basics. That sounds about right. I think most of your listeners would think, like, that's about right. If you do the bare minimum, then you'll get something like a 60. And if you do more than that, then you'll be up into the B range. And then if you really go above and beyond that, then you'll be in the A range. But with this minimum grading or the 50% rule, students are getting 50% for doing nothing. And so
doing
there's
nothing.
Really not
yeah.
any reason to put in that basic effort, or we're just, you know, inflating the entire spectrum of grades. And we do know that grade inflation is at a kind of tipping point now. People have been complaining about grade inflation forever, but, you know, the ACT had a report, I think last year, where they showed that they had the lowest ACT, average ACT scores on record. They had the highest GPAs, high school GPAs on record. So that's really strong evidence that, you know, that the grades have gone up and student learning has not. And then we're also seeing that grades are becoming less. Grades used to be kind of the gold standard for predicting post-secondary success, like how you do in college or how you do in the workforce. And we're finding that that's not even true anymore. And elite colleges, you can't really look at grades because they're not really very predictive because everybody's getting A's.
And I guess that's why, Adam, a lot of schools that have abandoned both the ACT and the SAT are now going back.
That's exactly right.
They've recognized that they misinterpreted everything that was going on as these students were, where they were coming from, why the grades and everything else. Didn't take them long, about 2 or 3 years, and they're like, no, this isn't working.
Well, and parents need to look out for it too, because if your kid is just bringing home A's, B's, and C's, if they're bringing home a lot of B's and C's in their school, that may mean that they're really struggling. And you may not notice it because you think, well, this is better grades than I got in school. But they had different grades back when you were in school than they do today.
No, absolutely. Adam Tyner, always enjoy the reports that you guys put out. Great job on this one. And they can find this again where?
At FordhamInstitute.org.
FordhamInstitute.org. It's named Equitable Grading Through the Eyes of Teachers. Thank you so much for joining us. Adam Tyner, National Research Director at the Fordham Institute and author of this study. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks a lot, Noel.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with
us. Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
On the text line, I taught for 28 years. Luckily, I didn't work in a school system that implemented these new reforms. I know fellow teachers who can't give a zero in other school systems and have to give a 50. A large percentage of these kids just take the 50 and never make up the work. They usually wait until the last 2 weeks of the grading term and shoot for a D. That's a sad commentary. Let's go to Irvin. Irvin, you're up. What say you?
Hey, no, I'm a former educator here. You know, we're talking about testing efficiency. but you have to circle back to teacher competence because it all starts with the teachers in the classroom. Yes, I'm a little sighted on that. My concern right now is you can't even keep good teachers that are certified in the classroom. You got teachers that are teaching out of their certification just to put a warm teacher body in the classroom. Governor Landry wanted over $80 million for LaGaita. He got $44.5 million. This is basically going to private schools, and I went to private school, but we paid for it. So for the third year, they have dangled this $2,000 stipend in front of teachers, and teachers don't even know if they're going to get it to the end of the session. You know, so we all know that Louisiana is second from the bottom in Gulf states on teacher average pay. The only one we're beating is Mississippi. I'm looking at stats right now. Our average is $40,400. I know Jefferson and Orleans are above that, but you got to consider the average with all the parishes. Right next door, Texas, they're at $47,700. So you tell me where efficient teachers are going to head to teach. I'll give it to you.
No, I don't disagree. And look, the teaching program and the test to get a certificate to be a teacher is not easy, right? Not easy at all. And if you want to get qualified people to teach, you need to pay them. You know, the interesting thing, and it always kind of blows my mind, right? The equipment manager on the teams, on college teams, make more than professors. And that kind of sums it all up, you know, as to where the priorities are, right? And when I always go back to that. I think the DB coach of LSU makes more than the governor. You know, which one is going to impact the quality of life of the state? Which one is more critical to the future of the success of the state, the economy, and everything else? The whole equation is just wrong. It's messed up. We need to reset the priorities. And that's not a knock on anybody that are very proficient at their profession. But, you know, if you want good quality people, you're going to have to pay. And you get what you pay for in the end. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.